The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. Friday, March 6th. Man, the weekend's here. We are getting close to free agency. The combine's in the rearview mirror. The draft is unfolding in front of us. Lots of things to talk about. A lot of free agency stuff. Tom Brady stuff, of course, too. We will also get to the proposed new collective bargaining agreement after the break. Don't worry. You're not a CBA fan. Don't tune it out. Maybe you're a baseball fan. I'm a huge baseball fan. I love baseball. Baseball is like one of my top three sports. And that's why I listen to Fantasy Baseball Today. Gets you ready for all your fantasy baseball drafts. It's the number one fantasy baseball podcast out there. It's our CBS, part of our CBS Sports Network. The Fantasy Baseball Today podcast has been helping listeners with their leagues for more than 10 years now. People have been voluntarily injecting Adam Azer into their eardrums for more than a decade. It's incredible. The position previews are all published. We've got sleepers, breakouts, busts, live mock drafts, and listener emails all this week. Plus, you get a new episode every single morning, 5 days a week until the season ends. Fantasy Baseball Today, anywhere you listen to podcasts. But hey, maybe you're a Mariners fan and you need some reason to enjoy baseball season. So Fantasy Baseball, that's a good option.
Thanks,
unnecessary shot at Sean Wagner McGuff. John Breach, your Cincinnati Reds could be good. Ryan Wilson is a bandwagon Red Sox fan, I think, right?
Grew up a Braves fan back in the day because grew up in North Carolina. Mom was from just outside Atlanta. Dale Murphy was my guy. You probably don't even remember him, do you?
I have a Dale Murphy jersey. I
love that. Oh, yeah. He was my guy.
Jersey t-shirt.
So yeah. on the topic of the Mariners and the Braves, this is like going to be a weird year for all of us where we all might start rooting for each other's teams. Like Andy Dalton might become the Bears quarterback and Breach is going to have some interest in the Bears. Maybe it's Cam Newton and Brinson has to kind of root for the Bears. King Felix is on the Braves and he's actually killing it in spring training. And every single Mariners fan, since the Mariners have no shot to make the playoffs, would love to see King Felix on a playoff team.
Or win a World Series, right? Exactly.
I mean, we're not picky.
Johnny B. Bad, what do you think? Reds, World Series? I put a bet in them to win the World Series a few months ago.
The Reds are a closet favorite to win the World Series, but I say that every year, and then they suck every year.
I don't think that's a term, but sure, go for it.
Dark horse? Can I use dark? You can be a closet favorite. You're in the closet. Brinson, no. You're a closet favorite.
Don't think it's a closet favorite. That's fine, though.
What? All right, we'll go with dark horse.
So, Tom Brady, San Francisco rumors continue to heat up. I think it was Tom Curran, friend of the program. I'll see.
Are the 49ers a closet favorite to get Brady?
Yes, they are. The 49ers are a closet favorite to get Brady. Tom Brady, rumored to San Francisco. We saw George Kittle tweet out that it's not going to happen. Sean, you're shaking your head. Is this a good idea, bad idea, plausible idea, reasonable idea? Anywhere close to happening? What do you think?
For Tom Brady, it's an incredible idea because he would go to San Francisco with a great defense that he just had in New England, and he'd be with Kyle Shanahan. That would be great. I don't understand it from the 49ers' perspective whatsoever, and I feel like I've been pretty low on Garoppolo, at least probably compared to most of you guys. It still doesn't make sense to me because for as inconsistent as Garoppolo was, and I thought he was pretty good last year, his numbers compared to Brady, 9% more of his passes were completed, 1.8 more yards per attempt, a touchdown on 1.8 more percent of his passes. His passer rating was 14 points higher. Garoppolo was 12th in DYAR. Brady was 16th. Garoppolo was 11th at DVOA. Brady was 17th. Garoppolo 12th in QBR. Brady 16th. Garoppolo is 28. He's coming off his first full season as a starting quarterback. There's reason to think he could still improve. We know what Brady is at this point, and he's on the tail end of his career. The Garoppolo contract isn't even that bad anymore because the 49ers can get out of it at any point they want if Garoppolo does not continue to develop. The only reason I think the 49ers would look to move on from Garoppolo this offseason is if they can get a cheaper option, which would allow them to keep more of their nucleus, and they have some people who are hitting free agency or needing extensions. Brady's not going to cost less in the short term. He might cost more than Garoppolo in the short term. And you're getting a downgrade and an older quarterback. I don't understand this whatsoever.
Downgrade. I would disagree on downgrade performance wise. I think that if you took like the next 5 years, you're going to get more value out of Jimmy Garoppolo. But I think Brady gives you a shorter, higher peak.
Okay, I can buy that. I still don't think it makes long term sense for them to do this.
Well, I would say that I don't think you can – I agree, Sean, but I don't think comparing Brady's numbers to Garoppolo's numbers from 2019 Fair. Really makes any sense, because if you put Brady in San Francisco last season, his numbers are a lot better than what he did in New England, where he had literally no one to throw to. I mean, you look at the Patriots roster. Does anyone know who their second leading receiver was behind Julian Edelman at the receiving position, not running backs?
I would guess Jacoby Myers.
Most of new.
I was going to do Myers.
Philip Dorsett.
Oh,
but see, it's that, like, you don't know because he had no one to throw to. And you have George Kittle. You have Emmanuel Sanders. You have Debo Samuel. Jimmy Garoppolo actually had people, plus a brilliant running or a brilliant offensive scheme that Kyle Shanahan, and you had all those running backs. So it just opened things up for Garoppolo. But the one thing I will say, and the one thing I think this would be a horrible idea for the 49ers, is you just went to the Super Bowl. If you dump Jimmy Garoppolo and you sign Tom Brady, and you don't get to the Super Bowl next year, you took a step back, and then you look foolish. Or Kyle Shanahan would look foolish. John Lynch would look foolish. We just talked about George Kittle. One of the running backs, Jeff Wilson, I think, came out and said, this is a ludicrous idea. It makes no sense. So you're at risk of losing the locker room, and there's no guarantee the 49ers would be better next season with Brady, because they're in a tough division. Maybe they only get a wild card spot. Maybe they get to the playoffs but don't win a game. If that happens, that's taking a step back, and it just looks bad on everyone if you take a step back when you dumped your Super Bowl starting quarterback.
I don't think it makes sense for one very simple reason, is that Tom Brady doesn't run Kyle Shanahan's offense. I mean, Jimmy G does the naked bootlegs all day long.
Can you imagine? Remember when in 2015 or was it 2015 when the Broncos hired Kubiak and made Peyton Manning do all the bootlegs? Can you imagine Brady doing the naked boots out there?
What are we doing? Yeah. So on that alone, it makes zero sense. And like Breach and Sean were alluding to, so you have 1 year with Brady, and then what? What's plan B? I think one of the rumors was, well, Kirk Cousins will be a free agent by then, and maybe they can pick up Kirk Cousins because Kyle Shanahan wanted him originally. Look, I don't love Jimmy G, but all this, doing this, you know, mental gymnastics and the most difficult trade possible to land doesn't make any sense. I mean, just stick with Jimmy G. You were in the Super Bowl. You had a chance to win it, and it just didn't happen. I don't know if they went to the Super Bowl last year with Tom Brady, because he would have been in his first year running naked bootlegs, getting crushed, three or four or five plays a game. So I don't get it. He's 42 years old. Let's be real. His best option is going back to New England.
Is there a chance, Breach, that this is all a rumor floated by Tom Brady's people to try and drive up Tom Brady's market, because there's been a surprisingly quiet amount of interest in Tom Brady?
I don't know that it hasn't been quiet.
I'm not saying that's it. I'm asking, like, I'm floating a conspiracy theory.
I mean, it is weird how all of the 49ers stuff just popped up kind of out of nowhere. All of a sudden we had, it was just basically, hey, look, it's the Titans and the Patriots, and the 49ers are back here in the background, but they could make a last second push to grab Brady. I just don't think it makes a lot of sense unless Brady decided, I want to return home to California and play. And he calls Don Yee and he says, make that happen. And Yee called the 49ers, said Brady really wants to play there. And the 49ers are like, well, we weren't really interested, but if he really, really, really wants to be here, you know, maybe we should think about it. But I just don't think it's a realistic option.
Okay.
The real loser here is Jimmy G. He went 3,000 miles to get away from Tom Brady, and he still can't get away from him.
Oh, maybe that's what it could be, a vengeance play by Tom Brady.
What's the vengeance? He got out.
He already won.
He got rid of Jimmy and won a Super Bowl.
Does Tom Brady strike you as someone who easily removes a chip from his shoulder?
What's the chip?
Jimmy G's better looking, younger.
That's a chip.
The apple of Bill Belichick's eye.
Wait, is Jimmy G better looking? I mean, like, you got to factor in age here, right? So you got to give, like, Brady some points for aging as well as he did.
Jimmy G has more gray hair.
So you think Ryan's the best looking person on here?
Undoubtedly.
No, but I'm saying if we were to judge all of us good-looking wise, we would have to give Ryan – we would have to, like, understand that, look, this isn't Ryan at peak. This is Ryan at 40-whatever.
I would disagree. I think – well, I mean, I think that – I mean,
I am. Like, I think – thank you very much. Next topic.
Well, let me say one more thing about if Brady – the talk was, you know, if Brady goes to the 49ers, maybe Jimmy Garoppolo goes back to the Patriots. But is Belichick even going to do that? Because, look, Jimmy has a contract for an average of $27.5 million a year. If the 49ers release him – because, again, I don't know where this trade talk came from. You're not trading Tom Brady, who's a free agent. He can't be traded. You're not trading air for Jimmy Garoppolo. So let's say the 49ers sign Brady and release him, and the Patriots can sign him. Why would Garoppolo sign for anything less than $30 million per year? He's going to want more than he had before because he just led a team to a Super Bowl. So he's not coming cheap, and it just feels like Belichick's not going to be one who's going to pay a quarterback $30 or $35 million a year.
You trade for Garoppolo.
If you're John Lynch, you hang up the phone when Bill Belichick – because he's up to something. You just don't answer the phone. It's not worth the conversation.
Well, the last time he did it, he called and gave you Garoppolo for nothing.
Second-round pick. I mean, it's not nothing.
It's pretty good value.
Yeah, I mean –
Jimmy G's contract, and look, it's just like Derek Carr's contract, Andy Dalton's contract, Cam Newton's contract, anybody's contract who signed one a few years ago, we're like, I can't believe they're giving him this much money. Like, it looks like a pretty good deal now. So, I mean, just ride it out with Jimmy G. He fits what you do in the offense. If you think you're getting better, he's coming off of a torn ACL. I agree. I think you go with it. I do think that Tom Brady gives him, if you wanted to shove all in on the next year and a half.
Why cannot run the offense? Why would a better chance?
You don't. You could tailor your offense to Tom Brady.
Does that
make sense? Yes, it's Tom Brady.
What'd you say, Sean?
I was going to say what Brent said. It's like whenever we talk about these quarterbacks going to Bruce Arians' offense, it's not like Bruce Arians, if he gets an old quarterback, will like make them chuck the ball 50 yards downfield. He will adapt and change the
offense for a 43-year-old guy.
I'm with you. I would not. It makes no sense to me whatsoever because we talk about Jimmy G's contract again. They can get out of it whenever they want. So if Jimmy G takes a step back this upcoming season and Kirk Cousins is a free agent, Kyle Shanahan can swap them if he really wants Cousins. So, like, the contract isn't prohibitive anymore. The only thing that's prohibitive about it is that he does have a decent-sized cap hit this year, and they are running kind of tight against the cap. So if they are going to swap out Garoppolo for someone, it only makes sense to do it for someone who's just as good and cheaper. Brady's not cheaper.
For what it's worth, Patrick Mahomes has no clue where Tom Brady's going. He actually spoke to our pal, Jonathan Jones, friend of the show, colleague at CBS Sports, and said, I have no idea, just like everyone else. I've been able to talk to him. He hit me up after the Super Bowl and congratulated me. It's hard to see him not being in a New England Patriots jersey, but you never know. I'll just kind of see when everyone else does. I should have read that in my Patrick Mahomes voice that our pal Eric Fisher likes so much.
You still can. Eric Fisher.
Mahomes. What is that?
I don't know. Can anybody do a Mahomes voice?
It sounds like a child dying, Brinson. You should probably never do that voice again.
Like a sick child. Yeah.
I'm telling you, guys, I haven't been on with you all, the four of you, in a while, but I can tell something's up with Breach. He is taking a turn off the deep end. I am worried about him.
Breach, what's your what's going on with you?
Wilson's apparently been out of town for 3 weeks. He doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know what's real anymore. I don't know what's going on, Wilson.
Just for the record, in case people wonder, yes, I'm very angry at Breach. I've never been mad at Breach before. I don't think ever. I've been mad at Brinson plenty. And Sean, there's no reason to be mad at Sean. He's working through some.
What do you think is wrong with Breach, Ryan?
Fatherhood. I think he's a little nervous. 2 weeks away. 2 weeks, Breach, is it? No, it's like a month, right?
April 6th.
A month, yeah. He is nervous. He's put together – he didn't even put together the crib. He made Rachel and her mom do it while he was out of town. What?
Where were you out of town? Where'd you go, Breach?
Oh, this is Super Bowl, I think.
Okay. I'll tell you what. It's all fun and games until that final month of pregnancy. Because at that point, your very pregnant spouse is no longer interested in being pregnant. Like, this is one of those. It's like, you know what? Sort of ready for this thing to get here. At least that's how it was in our house.
What is Breach's face screaming at you right now? Oh, my God.
his face – to me, his face says – I hope my wife doesn't listen to this.
No, that's honestly at least his worries. He's got a million things to
If my wife did listen to this, though, she would grab the program, the thing I'm supposed to mail Wilson, and actually mail it because she's responsible. So anyway, everyone, Wilson is upset with me because this is Sean versus Will part 2. I'm supposed to mail Wilson something. I told him like 2 years ago I would mail it. He reminded me in February. And
Valentine's Day.
On Valentine's Day, when I'm trying to have a romantic date with my pregnant wife, Wilson interrupts me to say, hey, can you mail something? I totally forgot about the conversation. And now today, 3 weeks later, he's holding it against me, even though he was rudely interrupting my date with my pregnant wife.
Two things.
And well, before.
Yeah, bring this in. This is important.
No, we're not going to bring that part in. There's multiple layers we're not going to bring in. However, I do want to point out that this, the item that wants to be mailed is not the Super Bowl program from a few weeks ago. It's a Super Bowl program from the Eagles-Patriots Super Bowl, as in the one from 2.5 years ago. Wilson still, like, at some point, just order it online, Ryan. It's $17.99.
No, you put that link into our little chat. If I had known that, I didn't know you could order it. No, but I just met an Eagles fan who I said, oh, this would be a nice gesture. I didn't say, hey, man, I got a big gift for you. Let me make sure my friend John still has it. I was, like, thinking about it. I texted John on Valentine's Day, and he said he would do it, and he didn't do it. So that's my fault for trusting John, but I understand there's some underlying issues, and he's really nervous about what's going to happen a month from now for the next 50 or 60 years until, you know.
Well, if you're lucky, Wilson, I'm on paternity leave. I might find some time to mail it, but babies are a lot, so maybe not.
Also, by the way, he said I interrupted his Valentine's Day. You guys just heard him say before the podcast, why didn't I text him the day before his wedding when we were all in Nashville to have him bring it to the wedding? So I interrupted his Valentine's Day romantic dinner with his wife, but I should have told him the day before his wedding to bring me the mat, to bring me the program. My bad.
Okay.
It's a by the way, part, case by Ryan.
Huh? What a part, tangent.
Part do. So you're a little French in there, right? A little French in there, Breach? Part hey, French?
The good news for you, Prince, on this, when we get 1-star reviews, it'll be for me and Breach, not for you this time going on the team.
Thankfully.
Don't get him started on coronavirus, though.
By the way, Julian Edelman is selling Stay Tom merchandise, so that's exciting.
He was in Syracuse when he made that comment.
Interesting. So are you guys sick of Tom Brady yet? I still enjoy it. But, like, I understand that there needs to be a little bit of patience with it because we're not going to know anything for the next 11
the
days.
The story of the offseason, I think it's fine. It's for two more weeks, and what else are we going to be talking about right now?
I think it fits with all the other quarterbacks, and how often do we have an offseason like this? So
never.
I think we should savor it.
Yeah, JLC pointed out that he's never seen anything like this, and he's been covering the league for a really long time, you know, from a global perspective. So
yeah, I mean, the closest thing is Peyton Manning, but the internet didn't exist in the form it exists in today.
Well, it did.
It was 2012.
Are you kidding me? No, it didn't.
I was on Twitter in 2012, and I was in, like, high school. I guess I was in college.
I am very angry at John, but I agree with him about this. 2012 is a lot different than 2020.
This is what John is pointing out is he didn't work. He wasn't writing for CBS then.
I was.
Not the NFL.
Thank you for wondering knowing how long I've worked here as a co-worker of yours, Brenton.
You weren't covering the NFL?
I know what I was covering. You said I wasn't working at CBS. I was just clarifying.
Changing the argument.
Yeah,
that's moving the goalposts on me, Brenton. Moving the field goal post.
The same thing that Ryan did to you on the program thing. All right, you know what else might be holding up Tom Brady? The whole CBA thing. But there's a new proposal out there. And coming up after the break, I was going to say break down, but that sounds redundant. Coming up after the break, we're going to tear apart the CBA in a way you've never heard it before. John Breach's dramatic collective bargaining agreement read. Dun, 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 dun. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. I wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin. What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan? What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
All right, John, this is your time to shine. Are you prepared?
Is this real life? Is this a real thing?
Yeah. Do you want me to do it or do you want to do it?
Do I just pick a random part, any part I want?
Do you? I'm glad to know you don't look at the rundown. That's good. Debo has a chunk pulled out.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. I got it. I see it.
Do you want to do it or do you want me to do it?
I can do it.
Are we recording right now?
We are recording right now, Sean.
So
this is John is. Look, the CBA is boring, okay? There's a lot of boring things about the CBA, so we're going to have John read a boring paragraph in his most dramatic voice. If it is terrible, I will cut him off after one sentence, and it will be Ryan's turn.
If you have to go to the bathroom, now is the time to do it, because this is a CBA dramatic reading by John Breach. Subject to the provisions of Section 2 above, a player or the NFLPA may initiate a grievance by filing a written notice by certified mail, fax, or electronically via PDF with the Management Council, and furnishing a copy of such notice to the clubs involved. A club or the Management Council may initiate a grievance by filing written notice by certified mail, fax, or electronically via PDF with the NFLPA, and furnishing a copy of such notice to the players involved. The notice will set forth the specifics of the alleged action or inaction giving rise to the grievance. Thank you.
Ryan, give us a grade for the dramatic effect or lack of dramatic effect to that reading.
B+. He enunciated his words.
He read it. I didn't want to. Now we'll see. Debo's going to add some music in there to make it more dramatic. I would have liked a little more like aggressive inflection, like unnecessary inflection, like, and by furnishing a copy.
Oh, then you should have said I need to do action movie announcer voice. Dramatic reading implies NPR voice. Tone it down. Calm.
This is something you listen to. Like your calm app at night when you're going to sleep. Like John Breach reading the CBA. You're asleep in 3 minutes.
Sean, what did you think?
I only got the end, but I think I sat with Brinson here. It wasn't quite what I was hoping.
You weren't even.
I'm glad I went to get coffee during most of that.
Lost in translation. That's what happened here.
Okay, so the CBA, the new CBA is 400, as Debo points out, that was the male version of Yoga Girl. 400. Thank you. It's like for the.
Hey, I feel better about myself.
It's accountant boy. Breach and start his own, like little his IG. He reads like privacy policies from around the internet. It's like we will any information you provide will be subject to third party. And you like put like calm music underneath it. It's account. We'll call him accountant boy and see how many followers he can get on Instagram. What do you think? 10? 20?
You'd be surprised how many people would follow that.
A guy I went to college with started cashcats.biz, and it was just people could submit their pictures of cats covered in cash. He started getting an influx of them from Europe, and people would like have handguns. I think Cash Cats is still a site. And he ended up getting on CNN for it. Go to cashcats.biz. It's actually a great site.
I am not going to go to that one.
No, you should go to it. It's just cats with tons of money around them. It's pretty awesome.
That doesn't appeal to me on any level.
Okay. Reach and I are no longer going to get the one-star review. It is now back on Brit.
Yeah.
if, you've ever seen Cash Cats That Biz, you're missing out. Anyway, moving along. So, Breach and I have read most of the 456 pages. When we recorded this on Thursday at around 2:30 p.m., the full, you know, the CBA had been dropped. My wife was getting mad at me because she was watching The Office and she was trying to talk to me about how The Office related to real life, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, I'm trying to read this really important document. Please stop talking to me. She was like, what is, she was like, you're looking at golf scoreboards. What are you talking? I was like, no, I flipped my tab back. I'm like, I'm reading the CBA. How much of it have you read, Breach, out of 456 pages?
All of it.
You have? No way. I don't believe that.
Why wouldn't you believe that? I'm the fastest reader out of all of us. Slow typer, fast reader.
Seriously, yeah. How much have you read?
Brenton's suddenly very nervous.
No, I'm legitimately curious. I mean, it's been like 4 hours, 4 hours, including lunch, since it dropped.
Breach doesn't eat lunch, so you're at 100 pages an hour. And he hasn't.
That's true. I don't eat lunch. I eat an apple a day.
I don't eat lunch either. That's weird.
It's a weird meal.
What do you mean you don't eat lunch?
I like to eat breakfast and dinner.
I snack throughout the day, but I don't eat lunch.
I eat late breakfast, like 11 usually, and then I eat like a dinner at like 6.
So you're a grandparent. Cool. So Breach, you're just not going to give an answer. That'll take that to mean 40%. That's fine.
I would say about 80%.
That's good. Yeah, I'd say I'm probably like 40%.
Oh, points for honesty.
Yeah, I mean, like, I haven't read the whole thing. I told you my wife's bugging me about watching The Office, and she's like, you're such a jerk. You don't want to talk. I'm like, I'm just trying to read the document. Anyway, Breach, give me some, we need some points to tell all the listeners about the new CBA that are important. I got a couple written down. Hopefully I've got a couple of really interesting ones. I'll let you have the floor first, though. And then Sean can follow up with his most salient points.
Well, I think by giving it to me first, sure, I might steal some of yours, but
we just do one. And then
I'll say one of the most fascinating ones is all suspensions off the table for drugs. You cannot get a drug suspension now. So
can I ask you a question about that?
Do I do drugs? No, Sean. Jesus, that's a personal question.
Sean, you can still be suspended from CBS for doing meth. So unfortunately,
can players be fined for?
Well, like, if you let me finish my part,
I'm just asking you a question.
Do you want me to dramatically read that part of the CBA to you? I could do that.
Okay, no. For the sake of the podcast, no.
Here's the deal. You can get fined, kind of. So if you fail a test, you do not get suspended. But eventually, if you fail enough tests, you're allowed to play, but you lose your game check for that game. So it's not a fine technically. But it is a pretty high financial punishment because losing a game check is a huge, you know, for Kirk Cousins, who would never get fined for drug use. But if you're someone who's making that much money, you know, you lose a game check, that could be $3 or $4 million. Hmm. So, yes, you can lose money, but you will not have to sit out any games.
It does sound like the NFL is going to create the NFL and the NFLPA are going to establish a joint pain management committee. Do you think that's a pun? Because it's designed for THC and marijuana evaluation for pain management. Because it's a joint pain management because they're working together, you see. But joints,
we
commonly referred to as marijuana cigarettes, could, you know, it could be a joke, you see.
How do you do, fellow kids?
Exactly. all right, I've got one for you. This is my most fascinating takeaway. This is the thing I dove in on first. I appreciate you letting me have it, Breach. It's the one I've been harping on. I wanted to know what the language was relating to gambling revenue as it comes. So for those that don't know, all revenue is the term used in the CBA to describe what the players and the NFL – put the players and the owners split. It used to be, it's not 50-50. It varies 47. Now it's going to move up to 47.5, maybe 48.5, depending on the 17 game season as proposed in this. So, gambling revenues. This is the language. They don't know what's going to happen with gambling revenue. They're trying to project what might happen. Revenues related to gambling on any aspect of NFL games, any performance of NFL players in NFL games, or in any other NFL/club related activity, or any other NFL club related activity, including without limitation, revenues from gambling on the outcome of NFL games, blah, 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 blah. In other words, any revenue from gambling on NFL games is going to go into all revenue. However, there is something that's described in here, and it's any sort of – Let me see if I can find the exact phrasing. Here we go. It is, for gambling revenues generated, and I think this is really important and interesting, by operation of gambling-related businesses located, one, in or physically attached to an NFL stadium, or two, within 200 feet of an outer wall of an NFL stadium or the point of entry to an NFL stadium, at which point a ticket is required. In layman's terms, what that means is a casino in NFL stadiums and a sports book in NFL stadiums. And they're talking about putting one in there. And in the case of that, 100% of revenue from an in-stadium casino or one attached nearby would be included only during the season, which breach I find very interesting because it's defined as training camp to the final game. Out of season, in the off season, only 50% of in-stadium revenue would be included, and 33% of off-site revenue would be included. Now, what's fascinating here is that if Jerry Jones sticks, it's fascinating to me anyway, if Jerry Jones builds a casino or a sports book inside of AT&T Stadium, and the Cowboys are eliminated, they don't make the playoffs, he could have every weekend a huge playoff party gambling fest, and then he could have a Super Bowl gambling watch fest, and they would get to keep 66% of the revenue because it would not go under all revenue.
Not bad. Make it pay Dak with that.
So nobody found that interesting, huh? Nobody found it interesting on our conference call.
So you're 0-2. No.
Yeah, 0-2 on that one. I find it, that's a huge deal. Do you know how much effing money you can make if you build a casino build a casino at AT&T Stadium or adjacent to it? And during the off season, which is training camp to the final game of that team's, like, they could just rack up cash. It's going to be a cash cow and the players aren't going to see it. They're crazy if they sign that.
What was the reaction when you said that on the conference call?
I just stopped talking after the first one because this is a podcast. Breach, what are your thoughts on this? Ryan, for the record, Ryan and Sean didn't read the CBA. 0.0%.
In my defense, in the...
Oh, yeah, you have a kid and a wife and a lot of stuff to do, so I'm sure you
and
have a good...
And a lot of the hours it was made available, I was not awake.
That's a hell of a defense.
Single millennial sleep slate doesn't do job. What a great headline on The Onion. John, your thoughts on the gambling situation?
I think you are building it up a lot. We're still a lot, because a lot of states still don't have legalized gambling, and some of the states where NFL teams are located might not have it until the next CBA. So, you know, because we're still in the infancy of this, and I don't think right now it's a huge deal. And, you know, a big thing, take Jerry Jones, for example. When you're trying to get people to those casinos, maybe a big thing you're going to do to get people there is have your players there signing autographs, and your player's going to know how much money old Jerry's making from these casinos. Like, all right, man, well, my fee for showing up is going to be, you know, $50,000 because I know you're raking in $2 million today. So I don't think it's horrible. If I'm a player, this is not a reason for me not to sign the CBA.
Okay.
As you said, you might not sign it if you were a player because of this.
Just worth noting, and I got crickets on this for the conference call too, but I'm going to throw it out here anyway.
Oh boy.
You're reading through it and you're like, okay, so they're trying to define what all revenue is, right? And there's a clause in here under, it's the non-all revenue section, and B, this is the full description of B. Revenues derived from wholesale merchandising opportunities conducted by Dallas Cowboys merchandising other than any related royalty payments to the league, entity, club, or club affiliate. In other words, Jerry Jones has his own, like, he just gets excluded from the CBA for a big chunk of marketing dollars that as it relates to the Cowboys. That's kind of crazy.
Is that different than the last CBA? I mean, that may have been in the last version of CBA.
I don't know, and I need to go back and look.
I will say,
there's also excluded our revenue from the PSL sold by the New York Jets and New York Giants.
I cannot believe, and you thank Breach for this, but I cannot believe Breach, with his first answer, didn't jump all over the gambling angle and instead went with the drug angle. That's my biggest takeaway. So
That's why you should be worried about Breach. He's big into drugs and not big into gambling these days.
The other thing I was going to bring up was the international schedule. I thought that was fascinating that the CBA says you can only play a maximum of 10 international games per year overall. That's a huge number. Right now we're at 4. So the NFL's looking to up that number to 10. And I find that fascinating for multiple reasons.
Most of which involve the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Well, number one, that means you could potentially put a team there still. So if Jacksonville were to move there and play 8 games in London, that's still under the 10 international games. But then that means, you know, you get 1 game in Mexico City, maybe 1 game somewhere else. It limits what else you can do from an international standpoint.
John, what happens if with this new 17-game schedule – Jaguars play 8 games at home in London and then somehow have 3 home games in London during the playoffs? They wouldn't be able to play one of those games because that would be 11 games.
Well, I don't think that they would play the playoff games in London. They play them in Jacksonville.
Also, Jaguars playoffs, we don't need to worry about this.
These are things you have to worry about.
I'm trying to see if there's actually a provision.
And then also, if any team plays more than 1 international game per year, so in Jacksonville will be playing 2 international games in 2020. Each player on the team gets a $5,000 stipend, so basically like free bonus money for playing any international game above 1. So if you play 3, every player on the team basically gets a $10,000 bonus.
I don't believe, just looking through very quickly, the old CBA, that it includes any mention of maximum number of international games, which is, look, that's just like 10 is a huge number. The max number of international games you can play is 10. That's a ton of international games. That is them saying we expect to have a team in London by the end of the CBA.
Well, the last part of that is that if a club plays more than 3 games, international games in 1 season, the NFL has to consult with the NFLPA to get that approved. So it does feel like the NFLPA would potentially have veto power if the NFL tried to move a team there to play 8 games in London. So that is a fascinating nugget.
So that Dallas Cowboys merchandising thing was in the old CBA, and they mentioned other than related royalty payments to the league. So, like, you have to pay your royalties to distribute wholesale, you know, merchandise, Cowboy stuff. I don't know if maybe they distribute everything. The royalties they were projected to pay to the league in 2011, $80 million. If you're paying $80 million in royalties, you're probably making about $800 million in terms of merchandise sales. Okay, Sean. You're really, really helping us out here by all the interest that you have in this.
Why are you targeting me? I mean, this you're the, classic. You are like the quarterback who throws the teammates under the bus because you knew coming into this I had not read the full CBA, and here you are pointing it out constantly to listeners when you could just choose not to talk to me about this and let me interject my witty comments.
Yeah, but see, you keep yawning and being like, and like making faces when I'm trying to carry you here. I'm trying to let you slide on this, and then you had to jump in like that. So you know what?
I'm still hung up.
You're still hung over? It's freaking Thursday, man.
Oh my God. This is lively. We haven't had all 4 of us together.
Wilson.
Someone just tweeted at me. That's why I was laughing.
Wilson at least does draft stuff. Okay, he has an excuse.
What's your excuse, Sean, other than you are sleepy?
That's his excuse. He's asleep. He's just asleep.
In my defense, I was very tired and asleep.
I will say that Debo keeps glancing at me like, oh, my God, you got to stop. The CBA stuff is boring me. Okay, fifth-year option.
Back to sleep.
Okay. We need a fifth-year option. So if you
– Debo says you're boring me to death. Onward and upward, fifth-year option.
All right, so the fifth-year option, if you're a first-round pick in 2018 or on, and you don't meet certain requirements, including a Pro Bowl and playing in 75% of the offensive or defensive plays in the first two of the 3 regular seasons, there's a couple different ones. I'm not going to bore you and read all of them. The fifth-year option would be the transition tag money for the 3rd to 23rd salaries at your position. If you don't make the Pro Bowl but you hit one of those, it's the transition tag from the 3rd through the 20th. And then if you make one Pro Bowl, but does not include alternates, so you have to be a first ballot Pro Bowl. This is insane. They're leaving it to fans.
Yeah.
Your fifth year option spikes up to the transition tag number. If you make 2 or more Pro Bowls, again, first ballot, does not include alternates, subject to fan voting, which is insane, then your fifth year option jumps to the franchise tag number. Looking at guys.
Can I say why that's weird? Because if you're a first-round pick, it would literally financially behoove you to pay a hacker to write some sort of script to vote you into the Pro Bowl. So Darius Leonard wouldn't have been –
Correct. Made all pro but not Pro Bowl.
We just
You can't sign that. I mean, like, I'm not saying that this is like a, like the ultimate deal breaker for 10 years of labor peace, but like, you gotta get something better than that.
Like eliminate you, Brinson, you know how you bought followers on Twitter? Someone could literally do that with the Pro Bowl. Like, they could buy a bunch of people to vote them, pay, like, you know, $1,000 to some hackers in Russia, and all of a sudden you have 50,000 extra votes, and all of a sudden you get this Pro Bowl berth, and all of a sudden you make more money. You know, I mean, it seems a little crazy to put it in the hands of voters.
Right. I mean, a less extreme version of that is like every player should be hiring someone to run their social media, because if you are just popular on the internet and you're a pretty good player, you are going to get more votes.
And you also have, like, remember in the NBA, like, Tracy McGrady used to make the all, and like all the Rockets used to make the All-Star team every year because Yao Ming was on the team. And like literally. Like, I mean, like, everyone in China would vote for Yao Ming and he would get on there. And so, like, it's not about who's having the best performance. It's not the all, even the all pros voted on by 50 people, 30, like 20 of which are probably, like, at this point senile, like Prisco. Here's a list of rookies, I believe, that made the Pro Bowl, or people on their rookie contracts still who made the Pro Bowl this year. Lamar Jackson, Nick Chubb, Dalvin Cook, Mecole Hardman, Deontay Harris, Nick Bosa, TJ Watt, Devin Bush, Jamal Adams, Minkah Fitzpatrick, and Michael Dixon. I think that's right. You can't, the problem is Pro Football Reference doesn't sort it very well because it actually includes, anybody who went to the Pro Bowl non-alternates as well. And so, like, that's the weird thing is if you're going to reward a guy for going to the Pro Bowl as an alternate, well, reward him in the CBA. If you get Pro Bowler attached to your name in the hit, in the annals of NFL history, then it should count for the CBA.
Also, we should just stop using X time Pro Bowler as like a way to describe players in general. Like, Mitch Trubisky technically made a Pro Bowl. Like, I think that says enough.
Deservedly so. He was a preseason MVP candidate this year, Sean.
Oh yeah, you get some. What am I gonna get for my program? Or my moron.
I was waiting for you to bring it up in Miami the whole week, and you never asked for it. I kind of feel like the date is, you know, it's gone by. Like, you had your window to ask for money, and you didn't get it.
That's not how gambling works, Sean.
Says the guy who refuses to give me my program.
We didn't gamble, though. There was no gambling, Ryan.
Gentlemen,
we made a verbal agreement, which is not up. You can't. It's against Tennessee law. You have to write things down.
You lived in California at the time, John.
Can I, real
also
quick?
Also against California law.
I know. I don't know if we're trying to move on from this CBA discussion.
Wait, let me throw one more thing. Yeah, go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to do, Breach. Throw one more thing out there. I actually want to come back to the first thing Breach said, and Ryan's going to call me a pothead again like he did on Twitter. It's on Twitter. I'm not making it up.
Did you call him a, quote, pothead?
Yeah.
Yes, okay, he did.
I mean, I think this is a terrible deal for the players just from that angle alone, because what the NFL is saying is we won't suspend you, but you can work for free. Like, you can play for free.
I'd rather be suspended.
That's unpaid. Yeah, that's unpaid labor. Like, that makes no sense to me. Why would, like, you think that's going to ease Josh Gordon? Like, cool, I can smoke weed. I just won't get paid for playing football anymore.
Well, Sean, what if you have incentives in your contract where you have to get 80 receptions? Missing games is going to hurt that if you have to play 80% of snaps to get – I mean, there's a lot of people who could still make money even if they're not on the field.
I'm saying just or get rid of the whole fine system for smoking weed. That's what I'm saying. I don't think it goes far enough for the players.
Well, I think the NFL is saying, look, we're not going to suspend you. Because if you're suspended, you don't get paid either. So maybe they – this way they don't hurt their team and themselves – maybe they give
them
the option.
They do hurt themselves, though. They're not getting paid to play football. They're playing for free. Who wants to play football for free? You're one injury, one bad hit away from having your career wrecked. You're going to do that
then
for free?
Then don't get caught smoking pot. Don't get caught smoking
pot.
But
it's just legal in some states.
I just feel like a lot of players, once they read that, will have major hang-ups still, because I don't think they will see it as enough progress in that area.
Sean, it's...
Derek Wolfe agrees with you. He tweeted in general about the CBA. This is an absolute no from me in the new CBA-ish deal.
He lives in a pot legal state, Colorado.
That is true. By the way,
one other part of the CBA. Are you CBA or are you moving on?
No. I was going to say that talking to JLC and Brady Quinn about this over the past couple of days, Breach, your point about incentivizing the players, the guys who don't make, like, basically dividing the players. It certainly seems like it's basically it's what the owners are trying to do. Like, you get the guys who don't, I mean, you know, the working class players,
I call them the peasants. That's what you guys laughed at me for. Right. It was just a fair way to do it. It was the medieval caste system. Let's just use that. No one gets mad, right?
Yeah. At any rate, yes. So, but like, they're basically like, hey, listen, you might get, you vote yes, you might get 60 grand to 100 grand in your pocket right now, or in, you know, a couple of months, maybe in a year or whatever, but just go ahead and sign it right now. Let's go. I mean, the whole thing feels fishy.
Yeah. And if you're making more than $5 million, you're like, I don't like this deal so much. But then the other guys who are making $600,000 are like, okay, so you make $5 million, you're going to vote against me getting a 20% raise because that is not cool.
Do you guys think this will pass?
Yes.
Yep. Mm.
Breach, can you explain the voting?
The voting. Right now, everybody's doing it electronically. Email, they have till March 12th to turn the ballot in. There's 2,500 players. That means that 1,251 of them have to vote yes for this to pass. It's just a simple majority. And so we don't know how close it is. Most of the players, this CBA would benefit as far as like getting raises because most players make under $2 million. So I think it'll be close, but I do think it'll pass.
Okay. And if it does pass, I mean, man, it would be,
wait. And as I say that, Tyler Lockett, tweets out vote no.
Really?
So I would say I if I had to pick, I would say no. I mean, I have no idea, but just based off, and maybe it's because the people that we see on social media are the ones making more money and they are more incentivized to vote no. But I do feel like there's a lot of negative reactions, and I could see the older players, richer players, really sitting down all the younger people and kind of pressuring them and talking to them about why they should vote no.
And the NFL has a statement. The NFL has sent out ballots to every NFL player who is a dues-paying member in the 2019 season to cast their vote on the new CBA as outlined in our Constitution. Ratification of a new deal is subject to approval by a majority of our members who vote. The voting will be open until Thursday, March 12th at 11:59 p.m. Eastern, which means, emergency CBA podcast at midnight on Thursday?
But it could pass before that. If more than 1,251 players have voted yes before then, it doesn't matter what everyone else thinks because you just need a simple majority. And one other thing, Nate Solder told Peter King over the weekend that he thought the CBA was a great deal and that everyone he talked to in the Giants locker room was for it. And Solder is the player rep for the Giants. So that is, you know, that's one team that is basically for the CBA. So it's there does seem to be a split between the players on this issue, on everything.
I mean, the reality is, I think, and this is what – I mean, this would be my take, is that there is an immediate benefit, tangible financial benefit to a large number of players who signed this deal and that they will probably regret signing it in the next 5 years. I think it was Brady pointed out, like this is this 17-game season, like this is your one shot. Like you're going to give up 17 games. You better get something good in return. And I just don't know that this is getting something good in return necessarily. Okay. That's our CBA talk. Sean, give us a grade on the CBA talk.
You know, 7 out of, great. We're looking for letters. B plus. I think, you know, if Ryan and me were prepared, it probably would have been an A. And the last thing I was going to say
is that you typically do better on a test when you prepare.
If a player holds out a training camp, the fines cannot be waived anymore. So you automatically get, like Melvin Gordon would have lost out on millions of dollars. It's to keep the players from holding out.
How can you agree to that? I mean, you just can't, like, there's so much, like, you got to remember the last CBA. I mean, everybody knows this, I think, but in two CBAs ago before the 2011 season, the first overall pick made a ton of money, and the union agreed that they should make less money. And so they made the rookie wage scale, which was great because supposedly it was going to put more money in the pockets of veterans. Instead, it changed the entire complexity of how you build out a roster and caused the quality of product, frankly, to decline because teams were more willing to use low price rookies instead of paying the veterans. And now like the NFLPA is like, what are you going to do? It's already in place. It wasn't in place in the last CBA. What are you doing? How are you this bad at negotiation?
That's like Sam Bradford's entire legacy.
Yeah, and they got walked back in terms of they used to make 53% of all revenue. They got walked back to 47% and got told by Jerry Richardson that they're just going to get this rookie wage scale. It was wild. I cannot believe it happened.
Yeah, to put that in perspective real quick, Sean just mentioned Sam Bradford. He was the final first pick before the new CBA went into effect. So that was back in 2010.
It was a $60 million deal.
The Rams drafted him, and he got a six-year $78 million deal. To put that in perspective, Kyler Murray, the number one pick last year, got 5 years, got $35 million.
Yeah, that's insane. I mean, look, $35 million is life-changing money, but you're the first overall pick. Like, you just spent three to four years basically working in indentured servitude in college football, and like you worked yourself out to become the number one pick, and now your wages are restricted. It's
and now
wild.
It's just getting closer, because if you assume Murray is there for that fifth year and he gets, say, franchise tag money, we'll say $25 million, that makes it a 5 year $60 million deal.
Yeah, I need to dig into it. It was hard to read the language. It's very legalese. There's something about guaranteed contracts with rookies that doesn't sound like it's exactly fully guaranteed anymore. So that's worth looking at as well. We will have more on that next podcast, no doubt. Speaking of bad deals, the Panthers traded Trey Turner, a 26-year-old offensive guard, five-time Pro Bowler, who's admittedly, again, we go back to the Pro Bowl. Like, he just got in the Pro Bowl because he's a recognizable name at guard and fans vote him in. He hasn't been that great every year. But the Panthers, they put him on the trade market. You're thinking, all right, they're probably going to get at least a third round pick for him, maybe a second round pick for him. See what you can swing. No, they got Russell Okung for him, a 31-year-old left tackle who very frequently is injured. And Okung has, I believe, a 1 year contract remaining. So
makes no sense.
The only reason you would do it is just to get Turner's money off the books.
Yes. Well,
they drafted two tackles last year, Greg Little and Dennis Daly. So what's the plan there?
Well, the reason that I think everybody's
– you got to get a pick.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you just get a second or third round pick and let the Chargers cut Okung? Like, what are you doing? Or get a second round pick and then offer the Chargers a sixth round pick for Okung. What? This is a terrible trade.
It's like when you are tanking, you are trying to get either younger assets or things that can turn into younger assets, a draft pick. The Panthers traded away a 26-year-old guard for a 31-year-old tackle who won't be in the team's long-term plans. It makes no sense. This is not how you tank.
I don't get it. I mean, like, people have been asking me, they're like, what, explain this to me. I'm like, what do you want me to explain? It's a terrible trade. Like, they should have gotten RJ White I was talking about. He kept being like, they should have gotten a pick. I'm like, RJ, I can't agree with you anymore. They should have gotten a pick. Like, I think there was a chatter that, like, the Panthers offensive line coach knows Okung, and so therefore, like, he feels comfortable working with him. But, like, it doesn't fit. Trading for this reminds me of the Braves signing Nick Markakis. It's like you're blowing it all up and you're just bringing this, like, veteran in. Like, what are you doing? What the hell's happening here? I guess they don't like Greg Little and Taylor Moton.
Well, they're trying to bring Greg Little into guard, which makes no sense because last Bradford drafted Marty Herney's like, yeah, we got him to play tackle. So I don't know what the plan is either, but I think that seems to be the recurring thing.
If they're trading Trey Turner for Russell Okung, they're definitely trading Cam Newton for like a.
So I said they're going to trade Cam Newton for Andy Dalton, Christian McCaffrey for Todd Gurley.
That's actually a good call.
If you guys read my bold predictions on the website, you would see that I have them trading Cam Newton to the Chargers.
See, that's why I didn't read the CBA, because I was reading your bold predictions.
Oh, well, then tell me four of them.
All right, who's the next name to be traded?
I didn't actually read it. Breach, that's you.
I don't think they'll trade Cam Newton to the Chargers. They would have just traded Cam Newton to the Chargers now, right?
I mean, look at the Odell Beckham trade last year when you had the Browns and Giants – pull off that trade about a month in advance, and they're like, you know what, let's just make it one big trade.
Yeah, that was weird. But hey, Dave Gettleman, you can't, like, making it muddier doesn't make it any better. Breach, who's the next guy to get traded? Next player. Anybody in the NFL?
Hey, I like your number six.
Sean, when I ask him a question.
Don't yell into the mic.
Just think it in your brain. Think it in your brain, and then 2 seconds, 2 minutes later when he's done talking, you could say it.
I'll say Cam because that's a tough – You know, I'll say David Johnson to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I like it. What's number six, Sean?
Teddy Bridgewater signs with the Bears. That's bold because it's not going to happen.
Not a trade, not helpful, not germane to the discussion. But thank you for waking up today and popping on that microphone.
And supporting Breach by reading his article.
Thanks, Sean. Thanks for the
good friend.
Yes, John?
Oh, nothing. My computer froze. I was seeing if everyone's alive.
We'll have a mock draft Monday, and then we'll preview free agency coming up. It's the heart of the NFL offseason. Talk to you guys next week.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.